Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Really, really appreciate Paul's realistic approach there to that last little phrase. I mean, that's a whole lot of just great stuff for Christian character and living. And then he's got this, you know, live at peace with everyone. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back a little bit. If it's possible. Wait a minute. There's two parties involved in peace. So if possible, where'd the verse go? It disappeared there. We got it. One more back. You're doing great so far, by the way. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, because you can't control their side of things, then you live in peace with each other, with other people, with everyone. Actually, that's everyone. That's a world, everybody. You know, some people are not easy to live in peace with, are they? we just recently had some trees. They'd been needed to be taken down for a while, and I kept looking at them and looking at them and looking at them. They kept growing because that's what, you know, trees do. So we had three 50-foot sugar maples that our former the owner of the house, our previous owner, there we go, that's the word, that they had planted, and they were little decorative trees when we moved in 11 years ago, but not so much now. So they just kept going and going, and when they started getting buds this year, I was like, no, I got to get them down before the leaves grow. I'd never dropped a tree before in my life, and the first one I had about 120 degree margin of error. So I could practice on that one, and if it went bad, then you know. But it went good. And the second one, I was going through, and then the chainsaw got stuck, and I thought, oh, that means it's leaning towards a house. So my wife and my son were on the rope, so I went out and grabbed the rope and finished that one down, and that one went exactly where we wanted. The third one, I had to miss the lilac bush and the fence, so that one took a little bit of skill. So trimmed up the limbs and dropped it, and everything was good. So I was 3 for 3 at that point. And we had two huge Bradfords in the front yard, and I thought, I went out there, I looked at it, because I was feeling kind of confident, you know. But I was like, man, if I drop it across the road, then the road is closed until I get that out. There's no other way. I need to hire a company. So I did what any responsible homeowner would do. I called, I planned to call. I called. I just didn't get a call back until after the fact. But I called three companies, and I was going to get three estimates and, you know, figure out which one was best, which one, you know, I felt more confident with. So the first company came out, and they were a professional company. They gave me a professional price. So I knew it was going to be quality work for sure, but it was definitely a quality price. So I filed that one away. I was like, okay, I got one estimate, and then the second company was going to come by and give their estimate. I was still waiting for a call back from the third company. And so the second company came by, and they gave me an estimate that was about $500 cheaper than the first company. And I thought, that's a pretty good amount of savings. And he said, hey, I've got my crew with me today. We can do it today. And I'm like, well, we can get it done today. That's always good. And it's cheaper. And I said, but I wanted to be wise. And so I said, well, I'm just taking estimates today. That's what we scheduled for. I have things I got in the evening. And, you know, and he said, well, if you let us do it today, we'll knock another $250 off. And I was like, golly, okay. And originally he was going to do the stumps for one price, and he agreed to do all five stumps, my three and his two, for an additional $200. So I was like, that sounds like a good deal. Sorry, third tree group, you missed out. So I called my senior student, and I had her cover classes for me that night and cleared my day, and so I could be there for them. And they started, I mean, chainsaws were buzzing, and there was a monkey up in the tree with ropes, and he's swinging all around, you know, and limbs are falling down, and these trees are just getting naked, and everything seems to be going pretty good. I bring out a round of waters for them, and then I run out to open the building for the Taekwondo classes, and I call them, and I say, hey, I'm going to stop at Subway. Would you guys like some sandwiches? So they said, yeah, and so I brought back Subway for all of them to eat, and then gave them another round of waters, and they kept working, and they finished up, and I looked around, and everything, the trees were gone. I didn't know what else to inspect or look for, and the cars were still all right, so, you know, things visible there looked all right. So I paid them, and they were on their way, and they were going to return in 2 weeks to take care of the stumps. Well, then that night, I was running out, I think, to one of the boys, I guess a track meet for Isaiah, and I flicked the switch to our outside lamp, the one by the driveway, and nothing. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went out there, and obviously at least a large branch, if not multiple large branches, had attacked this poor pole lamp. Because I noticed when I walked towards it that none of the bulbs, it has three bulbs, none of the bulbs were there at all. They were all shattered. And then when I got closer, I noticed that all three of the little things where the bulbs sit were at 90 degrees. I mean, totally folded over. And I thought, man, that thing really took a beating. And then I looked underneath, the whole bottom plate was gone. There was one little piece of metal that looked like it had been, you know, readjusted to look as if it had not been hit. And I thought, you know what, that would be easy. And I was a nice guy, you know. That would have been easy enough to, you know, say, hey, sorry, we hit your lamp. What can we do? You know, we can knock $100 off or whatever. You know, that would have been easy to do. But now they tried to cover it up, and ooh, I was not happy that night. And so Jess was like, just take a day. That was very wise. I have a wise wife, and that it's nice to have that kind of teamwork. So I took a day, called the owner the next day and explained the situation. He said that he would be out to look at the lamp that Saturday. And so then that Saturday came and went. So I was like, you know what, I want to get the stumps done. That's a big deal. This lamp, you know, I went ahead and replaced it and got a $8 can of spray paint to cover the pole because the pole was all scratched to pieces and looked like we had cougars, you know, just. So then when I texted and said, hey, when can I expect you to do the stumps so I can schedule? So I can schedule for this one as opposed to our first meeting. He called me at that point and he said, hey, sorry I didn't get out on Saturday. We'll be able to get out and do the stumps next week, next Friday. So I didn't hear anything from him. So I texted on Wednesday. Didn't get any text response back. Text on Thursday, nothing back. Called on Friday. And I got that backwards. That was the week before. And then called and didn't get a call back. So then that following week, called a different number and talked to that person. He was like, oh yeah, that other phone's not working quite right. And I'm like, oh no. So he says they'll be out that Friday. And so that Friday I called just to confirm because I didn't want to clear my schedule. And he said, yeah, we're out doing stumps today. I was like, okay, great. So about noon, you know, sent him a text, no response, you know. And then 7 p.m. that night, I called him, and I left a voicemail. So, and then I called him, and I texted him, and I called him, and I texted him, and I got no responses. And after a while of doing this, then I called him on my wife's phone, and they answered. First Choice Tree Service. And I said, yeah, this is Dusty Delafield. You guys were going to come out and do our stumps, like, a week, 2 weeks ago. You know, now we're a month away from when you did your first service. Oh, yeah, da, 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 you know, and then all of a sudden after that, they weren't answering my wife's phone calls or texts. So then I use my son's phone. And so I call my son's phone, First Choice Tree Service, and I said, hi, is this John? Click. Now, you guys know me. You've known me for 17 years. I'm a fairly patient person. I'm a gentle person. I'm kind, generally, right? Would you guys agree? I think that's kind of my, sometimes to a fault. Sometimes I'm just too nice. Oh, you don't hang up on me. That's just, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, it's not always easy to have peace with some people. That's why I really like the way Paul words this here. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Oh, if it's possible, sometimes it's not possible. I may get caught back up where I am here. You know, we've been working through a series on the Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. As we've been working through this little Sermon on the Mount series, this will be going all the way into the fall. We're just kind of taking little pieces by little pieces. And so today, we're on the seventh Beatitude. There are eight Beatitudes that start off the Sermon on the Mount. We are on the seventh one today. And today's Beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We should have that. Yes, there we go. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, in the series we've been talking about how in the kingdom of heaven, we are part of a kingdom of blessings, that we are blessed simply by being in God's kingdom. And it is super important for us to be able to recognize the blessings that God gives us in his kingdom. And these Beatitudes that Jesus shares, they help to open the door. They're kind of a skeleton key into being able to see some of the blessings you might miss by being part of God's kingdom. And some of these are a little bit different. You know, when we talked about blessed are the meek, and we had to break that down a little bit and kind of understand that meekness wasn't weakness. Meekness is actually a strength. And as you look into these things and these blessings, they open up the ability to see and receive other blessings. And so they're very, very important so that we can be positioned for, that we can be attentive to and aware of how blessed we are to be part of his kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, those are two descriptions that I hope are synonymous with my character in Christ. That first of all, I would be presented as a child of God, and just simply the way I live, that it would be evident by my lifestyle. And it's also very important for me to be a peacemaker. I try hard to make sure that I live at peace with others. And I want to make sure that that is something that comes across, and that's very important to me personally. So this particular beatitude, it definitely hits home. When I come across a situation like this tree company, and I share that story because we've all been there, haven't we? You know, you've got situations where you just, whoa, and you want a Yosemite Sam it, you know, and you just, you know, you shouldn't, but you want to. And you think, you know what? They're all the way up in Dayton. You know, how much would those ripples come down if I did, you know, just explode on them one of these? But it didn't, you know. Jesus was kind. Jesus was gentle, wasn't he? He was patient. But Jesus was never a doormat. Jesus was never a soft target. Jesus was never a pushover. And so we're seeing in these Beatitudes that there's really a balance to these. That to be a peacemaker, you just can't go all the way over here and just say, and just be a yes person and just, you know, be a doormat for everyone. That's not what a peacemaker is. So what is a peacemaker? What did God, or what did Jesus have in mind about what a peacemaker is? Because of all times, this would be a good time to know what a peacemaker is, wouldn't it? Because we don't live in times that are exactly peaceful. Riots masquerading as protests. Mass shootings occurring at alarming rates. Political unrest. Hateful divisions. Financial tensions. Racial rousing voices. Hidden and not so hidden agendas. You have jabbers and anti-jabbers living under the same roof even. You talk about dividing a household. You get into that discussion. If not under the same roof, definitely around the same Thanksgiving table. Just divisions all around us. Go green! Open the pipeline. Protect Ukraine. Let them defend themselves. Let's not get involved. accusations towards Christians, of hate speech. Talked about this last week. Simply because we're standing on biblical principles and biblical values, biblical virtues. So what does it look like to be a peacemaker in all this mess? Well, the word peace, or variations of the word peace, shows up in about 250 verses in our Bible. About 90 of those verses are in the New Testament. And so looking just at those 90 verses, and don't get worried, we're not going to look at all 90 of them this morning. But looking through those 90 verses, we get kind of a picture of what a New Testament understanding of a peacemaker looks like. A good portion of the verses about being verses that use the word peace talk about being in a relationship with God, the peace that comes from salvation. That is the ultimate version of peace, to have peace with God, to be at peace with God. A very close second is where the word peace is used as a salutation in the various letters, either at the beginning or the end or both, in places where you'll see like peace and grace to you, right? You familiar with that in the Bible? So that's a good number of them there. The third most frequent use of the word peace is describing the relationship of a Christian to a Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ, and how they should be at peace with each other. You've got a handful of verses that deal with various relationships with the world as far as peace goes, some miscellaneous. And you've got two from Jesus that are actually kind of opposite from what you would think. We'll look at that at the very, very, very end. So looking through these various passages and these uses of the word peace, we can generate a very simple understanding of what Jesus had in mind when he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." So I'm just going to write this down. This will be a little extra notes from what we've been doing in our series. A biblical peacemaker is someone active in sharing the gospel. Because we know that that is the ultimate version of peace. The ultimate source of peace is to be at peace with God. And so a peacemaker, a biblical peacemaker, someone active in sharing the gospel. A peacemaker would also be someone devoted to peace within the church, because we know there are a good handful of verses in the New Testament that talk about this. That a peacemaker is someone who is devoted to peaceful relationships in church, or peace within the church. And then we also know from other verses in the New Testament that a peacemaker is someone who seeks, when possible, we'll include Paul's caveat there, peaceful interactions with those outside the church. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In our series, we've been talking about how each of the Beatitudes are connected to a kingdom mindset. They're connected to a character trait, a behavior pattern, and of course, a kingdom promise. The way we think impacts our heart. It impacts our actions. The way we think impacts our attitude. And so that portion of understanding the kingdom mindset, a lot of that comes from this verse here in Romans 12, where Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So these kingdom mindsets that we've looked at, the six so far, and then the one today and the one next week, they are super important for us to be able to change our attitude, to change our living, so that we're not conformed by the world, but we're transformed by a renewing of our mind. And so the mindset this morning, as we look at being a peacemaker, is very simple, and it is that peace is the prioritized target. That peace is always the prioritized target for a Christian. That is the kingdom mindset. And when we look at the top part of your bulletin there, as you filled that in earlier, you know, one of the things that a peacemaker is someone who shares the gospel. You know, the ultimate form of peace is to be in a peaceful relationship with God. So the ultimate peacemaker is going to be a winner of souls. If you can be instrumental in leading someone into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you have led that person to the most important, the most valuable, the most vital, the most treasured peace that can be found. That is the ultimate goal for all Christians, or it should be. And so that should be our mindset, our kingdom mindset, that that is the prioritization. That is the prioritized target, is peace. First and foremost, the ultimate peace of being at peace with God, to be a sharer of the gospel. And I believe the church, capital C, the church at large, that we all need to take a good look and reassess our priorities. We've gotten so sidetracked with politics and policies and people groups, when the most important focus of the church should be promoting the gospel. If you want to turn riots back into peaceful protests, you reach the hearts of the people with the gospel. That's how that happens. You want to minimize mass shootings? It's not with gun laws. It's not with this or that or the other thing. It's not politics or policies. You want to change that statistic? You be more diligent in sharing the life-changing story of Jesus Christ. I mean, look around. Any one of us could be capable of a number of different evil things if it weren't for us coming into contact with Jesus and giving our life to him at one point in our life. Where would any of us be without that? We're all capable of some awful things. So you want to change that? Be more diligent in sharing the life-changing gospel of Jesus. You want to solve political unrest? Then concern yourselves with the hearts of people around you, as much as you might concern yourself with the politicians that are in power. I mean, check me if I'm wrong, but in the Gospels, I don't find anywhere in there where Jesus is trying to change the political party of the Gentiles, of the Galileans, of those in Jerusalem, was he? No, what was Jesus doing? He was taking citizens of Galilee and citizens of Jerusalem, and he was teaching them of a better citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You know, if the church had that as our main focus, it wouldn't matter what policies or what politicians or what people are doing. If hearts are being changed, those hearts are going to follow God and follow his word and follow Jesus' teachings. That's what the church needs to be about. Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Where peace is a prioritized target for the kingdom worker. You know, we talked about the second use of peace. That a peacemaker is someone who seeks peace within the church. That is devoted to peace within the church. It's sad how foreign peace is sometimes in the walls of the church. And I'm talking both capital C and lowercase c. Inside the walls of a local church, but also inside the confines of God's entire church, his whole church. Jesus prayed that we would be one. That we would be one, just as he and the Father are one. That type of one. How are we doing, church? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know, those verses in the New Testament that talk about the importance of peace within the church, they are potent verses. Let me share just a few with you. In a section where Paul is talking about church relationships in Romans chapter 14, he says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, make every effort to keep in unity, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you are members of one body. You were called to peace and be thankful. Peace in the church is a big deal. And if we're going to be peacemakers, then we must prioritize the target of peace within the church. You You know, the passages that talk about peaceful interactions with those outside the church, they're semi-dependent on the other party. And the understanding of peace within the church is that everyone in the church is going to be aiming for that target. And if we all have that as a prioritized target, then we shouldn't have to worry that there's another party that doesn't want peace. I mean, the assumption should be if a church is biblical, then everyone here is looking for peace. Even if we have some disagreements or things rub us wrong or one of us is having a bad day or whatever, if we're all on the same page. But when you're dealing with people outside the church, you have other parties. And so it goes back to that Romans understanding that if it's possible, you do whatever you can to have peace with outsiders. And so we set that as a priority target to have peace with others as much as we can be a part of that. You know, when Jesus sent out the disciples on their first missionary trip, he told them, go and find a house in that town. And when you enter that house, say, peace be with you. And if they accept you in and they give you peace, then you let your peace rest on that house. But if not, then you let your peace return to you. Jesus even took it as big as the town, that if you walked in the town didn't welcome you, then what do? You brush the dust off your shoe and you leave. You go somewhere else. Same idea. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, sometimes the end product of peace doesn't happen through peaceful means. This morning I had the opportunity of going downtown and speaking at the State of Ohio. Let me get this. This is a big title. The State of Ohio American Legion Annual State Convention. A bunch of servicemen and women, veterans, who serve in the American Legion. Chris, it's always wonderful to have him share on around a patriotic time, because Chris served and he is currently a police officer. So he served in the military. He serves as a police officer. And in both of those categories, and in the men and women I spoke to this morning, they understand that sometimes to achieve peace, the road is not peaceful. And that's a very confusing thing sometimes. But that's absolutely true. And when the target is peace, you can navigate that the best you can. It doesn't mean chaos and, oh, we ended up with peace. No. You set the target at peace. Sometimes there's unrest on the way there. I mean, I think we've all been there with our little ones, right? They go tearing off, they run into a road, and you rant, you know. That's not peaceful. But the end goal is peaceful. You don't want them getting hit by a car. I'm experiencing that now with a 15 and a half year old with a steering wheel in his hands. And I'll raise my voice, or, you know, I have to say something quick, get it out of my mouth, and it panics him a bit. And he's like, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, sometimes it's going to come out loud. Sometimes it's going to come out not peaceful. But there's going to be wisdom in that, because I've been driving for a few years. So listen for the wisdom, because the end product is peace. Is you not getting in a car wreck, or you not hitting someone else. Sometimes the road to peace isn't always peaceful. And this brings us to our behavior pattern this morning. So write this down. Peacemakers are mostly peaceful. This felt really odd to write this note as I had researched and kind of planned things out and laid things out. And I wrote this note and I thought, or typed it out. And I thought, really? Is that right? It really is. Peacemakers are mostly peaceful, but never pushovers. Where would our country be if our peacemakers were pushovers? We wouldn't be a country. We would have been taken over numerous times since our existence. We wouldn't even have had of our existence, as Chris shared this morning. A peacemaker can't be a pushover. As I shared earlier, Jesus wasn't a pushover. I mean, I challenge you, find a time in the Gospels where Jesus was a pushover. You're not going to find it. He was a peacemaker, but he was no pushover. We're called to be humble. We're called to be gentle, kind, good, and patient. But we balance that because we're not called to be pushovers either. Jesus was a man of controlled strength, of measured power. Our God is a God of justice. To be truly a peacemaker requires a backbone. And if your focus is on peace, then sometimes you have to have a backbone to go about achieving peace. You know my tree service story? I wanted peace. I wanted peace. I wanted some sort of, you know, agreement to come to an end. That way we'd be able to be fine and go our separate ways. But nothing ever happened. That phone call, when they hung up on me, I called back and immediately got the voicemail. And I left on that voicemail. I said, this is no way to do business. I've given you guys ample opportunity to make right on this. It's obvious that you're not going to come out and take care of the stumps as you had agreed in your contract. And so I expect to receive a paycheck of $200 made out to Dusty Delafield to cover our agreement and bring that to fruition. And if not, then I'll be reporting you to the Better Business Bureau, something I've never done before. That was mid-June. Guess what I did this week? My target of peace changed, though. I don't want other people getting targeted. I don't want other people getting taken. If I sit and do nothing, that doesn't help others. Sometimes to be a peacemaker, you have to have a backbone. Sometimes peacemakers aren't always peaceful on the way there. But if your target is peace, that'll keep you in line. That'll keep you targeted in the right way. Peacemaker, being a peacemaker takes strength, it takes resolve, it takes fortitude, and a focus, a spiritual stamina, which is the character trait associated with this beatitude. Let's write that down. Character trait, spiritual stamina, that is patient, focused endurance. Peacemakers are spiritual marathon runners. To be a peacemaker means that you understand that it can be, and in some cases it will be, a slow and long process to achieve peace. You'll go back to the top three things there on your bulletin when we're talking about building relationships with other people in the hopes that you're going to be able to share the gospel, the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And I've encouraged you guys numerous times in my time here that's the way you do it. You build a relationship with people. You create relationships. You reach out to this person, that person, this other person, and you grow in a relationship so that you can get to a point where you have an open door to share the gospel of Jesus with him. And sooner or later, that door is going to become apparent when you're developing these relationships. To be the ultimate peacemaker means to be a sharer of the gospel. And let me assure you, sometimes that is a slow go. That takes spiritual stamina. That takes spiritual marathon runners to make it. Peacemakers, don't give up. You have those relationships, and some of those people you're in a relationship with, you think, there's no way. I've been waiting for that open door for years and years and years and years and years. Listen, don't give up. Spiritual stamina. Sometimes you're going to have to endure the long road to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You be a peacemaker. But no, sometimes peace comes at the end of a very long, slow road. And we talked about having peace within the church. And we mentioned that. Church, that's been an issue since the New Testament was written. Paul was writing letters to churches in the first century because they had problems in the church. That's why we have so many verses in the Bible about having peace in the church, because they needed to hear it. 2,000 years later, we need to hear it. As long as a church exists on earth, the church is going to need to hear that. If we are devoted to one another to have peace within the church, that takes spiritual stamina. That takes a patient, focused endurance. Because we're all fallen people here. For all of us to be perfect on the same day, that's just, it's not going to happen. So we have to have this spiritual stamina if we want to be peacemakers in the church. To be peacemakers with the outside world, that takes a spiritual stamina. To be patient. You know, my story probably brought up a lot of memories for you guys in different stories. Stories that maybe you had spiritual stamina and you behaved well. This was one of my stories where I can share, and I can share that throughout the whole process, I maintained my spiritual integrity. There are other stories where I wasn't as good with my tongue or my thoughts or whatever. But in this particular case, that was the case. And it takes spiritual stamina to do that. So let me encourage you, be peacemakers, church. Be ultimate peacemakers. Share the gospel. Be peacemakers within the church. Be peacemakers with others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And that is the promise. They will be called children of God. You know, through the gospel, the ultimate peace is found. And with all this talk about being peacemakers, it feels like a curveball to think about the couple of times when Jesus mentions, it's actually one time just brought up in two different gospels. I'll read from Luke's gospel. He says, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" I mean, every one of us would be like, yeah. "No, I tell you, but division." What? He asked us to be peacemakers. "From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, and mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Church, our goal is to be peacemakers, to have a prioritized target, to shoot for that with the gospel, to shoot for that within the church, to shoot for that with others outside the church. To have a behavior pattern that matches that. God's principles, God's values, Jesus' teachings, they are polarizing. And what makes it difficult is when we set this bar from the Beatitude and say, well, we must be peacemakers, and then we witness how polarizing Jesus' teachings are, and we say, well, how can we be both? Jesus was both, was he not? We have to frame our mindset, our heart, our behavior patterns, our actions around being a peacemaker. And then as we move forward with the gospel, with Jesus' principles, with his teachings, when we know we're moving forward as a peacemaker, our goal, our ultimate goal is peace. And if those outside are causing the unrest, that's on them. If we are seeking peace and we're going about it in a peaceful way, that we are being peacemakers, then we know we are doing the correct thing and we're following in the same footsteps of Jesus. Does that make sense? Because I think the problem here is that oftentimes people think, well, in order to be a peacemaker, I have to be a pushover. And that's why I had that note in there this morning, that we are not pushovers. In fact, peacemakers have to be the opposite. You have to stand your ground. You have to stand for the principles in the Bible. You have to stand for the virtues that Jesus taught. So hang on to that, church. Endure it. That spiritual stamina. Focus on the target. Be peacemakers. And in turn, you will be called children of God. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much. for your instructions, for your teachings. Father, for Jesus' life, that he lived every bit of what he taught. That everything that we read, no matter how difficult it may be to apply to our lives, we can look to Jesus and see that he lived it. And so we have a how-to, and then we get a chance to see a picture of what the finished product looks like. Father, I pray that you would be with us in these times. That you would strengthen us, encourage us through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through your Son's example. That we would be peacemakers. That we would hold to the disciplined thoughts and actions that go along with that. Father, I ask that you help us to make a difference by making a difference in the lives around us. That we would harness the energy that we have, the frustrations and concerns that the world around us right now, and that we would take that and to focus it into things that we can do something about. Father, that you would empower us to be peacemakers in the world around us, to be life changers with the gospel of peace. That the church would be stronger and would function better because we are at peace with each other and we're encouraging each other. And we come here and we get refueled and charged, and because this is a place of peace. Help us to do everything we can to be at peace with those outside the church so we can be a witness, so that we would be seen as your children, reflecting the ultimate peace giver. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During this next song, I want to encourage you. I mean, most of you here are Christians. So I want to encourage you to think about being a peacemaker and what area that means that you need to kind of turn it up in. Be a child of God. Be a peacemaker. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, we want to offer you that opportunity. You know, outside of Jesus, I remember, and I was a teenager, I was not at peace outside of Jesus. I remember, I don't think I've shared this here. I remember before I became a Christian, I had this spiritual dream. I had two different spiritual dreams, and I've never had any dreams like it before. And there was something different about them when I had them. And you might think I'm kind of crazy sharing it, but it's my reality. One of the dreams, the dream that reoccurred numerous times was, and I have to explain this for the young ones, I was in a desert in a phone booth, okay? That back in the day, there were these glass boxes. You guys might know it as a TARDIS, but they were these glass boxes, and Superman would go into them and change into Superman. And they were called telephone booths. And so in this dream, I was in a telephone booth in the middle of a desert. And I'm just sitting there. And out of nowhere, a demon comes and hits the window. And every night there's another demon, another demon, another demon, another demon. So much so that I don't know how many nights in a row I had that dream. But so much so that the last night I was just anticipating it. It was just all around. I don't know, did I ever share that with you even? I did, okay. And then I was baptized into Christ. And I didn't have that dream anymore. I had one more dream. I was in a dimly lit barn. I mean, these dreams are so vivid. With just a bulb that was just screwed into a socket that was just swinging by the cord, you know? And you could see the shadow of the door as the door was opened a little bit. And you kind of had that little half moon shadow. Or not that half moon beam of light where you had shadows. And there's a figure in the shadows. And he said, I hate the Son of God. And he came into the light and he looked me in the eyes and he said, I hate you. And I woke up and I smiled. I was like, I was in the light. I was in the barn. And I was categorized in the same thing as Jesus. This morning, if you're here and you're outside of Christ, you don't have peace. Let me assure you that if you come to Christ and you are baptized into Him and filled with His Holy Spirit and covered with His blood, the forgiveness of your sins, you will have peace. Not peace as the world gives, as Jesus said. Jesus said, my peace is not what the world gives. My peace is different. That's the peace that's offered to you this morning. So I encourage you this morning, if you've never received Jesus, if you've never given your life to Him, we encourage you to come forward during this next song.